sit back, relax, you got nothing to lose. What do you think I'm about to show you? The female of the species is more deadly than a male.
Deadly.
Only a movie, you can say it again. Just wait till you see what I did at the end. The female of the species is more deadly than a male. The female of the species is more deadly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to More Deadly, where we review horror movies directed exclusively by women, which prove that the female of the species is more deadly than the male. More Deadly is a trans-inclusive podcast where we celebrate the work of cis and trans women, as well as non-binary filmmakers who are comfortable being included in a space that centers the work of women, as we will be tonight, which I'm very excited about. So I am your host, Rachel, and joining me once again is forever friend, nay, family of the show, Larry from Here's Johnny. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you for having me back. I was a little worried after the Twilight podcast that maybe I had my invitation banned, but here we are.
If anything, I was worried after the Twilight podcast that you were like never coming back and you were done with me and the show forever.
No. I do want to say I finished building the Twilight house, Lego set.
Okay.
It is very cute. And my next set that I've asked for is the Goonies one for Christmas.
Now, see, Now we're on the same page. I can get down with some Goonies. When I saw the Fratellis were a part of it and that Mama Fratelli had a little Lego beret, sold.
And did you see what it is?
What do you mean?
It's the pirate ship, right? And then The back of it's all the different traps.
Yeah. I will say my favorite detail aside from the beret has got to be the bone organ.
Yes, agreed. Seconded.
Yeah, that is like the moment in that movie that I think probably most captured my imagination when I first saw it as a kid.
And I was telling Devin, like, I can't wait for Lydia to turn like 5. Because I think that's when She'll be old enough to like appreciate. And like, that's kind of how old I was when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And want to go exploring. Yeah. So I'm pumped.
This is a perfect segue into what we're doing tonight, by the way. I know it wasn't planned, but it's actually kind of perfect because I feel like even though Goonies is very much an adventure film for kids, there are horror elements in it.
Oh my gosh, tonight, yeah.
Right? There are scary moments in it. The traps are quite scary. The sloth stuff before you understand the dynamic. And actually, as an adult, even more disturbing, the sloth elements of it.
Throwing Chunk in the back seat with the dead body.
Yes, that's right. See, yeah, so there's some spooky stuff in that. And we're going to be talking about a horror film that is, I think, largely geared towards children tonight, which is R.L. Stein's
Should have done
Pumpkinhead.
A little bit of research before I watched it and would have known that.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to put you on blast for what you said before the show.
No, that was a safe space.
Okay, fair. So this is coming from director Jim Gerard. If that name sounds familiar, it's because we have previously reviewed one of their films, Slay, which I don't know if you caught this, Larry. I don't know if you've seen the film, has a cameo in this movie.
Really?
Yes, it is the movie that they're watching, the kids are watching in like the third act. Like they're looking through it.
Okay, I wondered if that was something because they kind of focused on it enough. Mm-hmm. That I didn't know that was a call to something. Okay.
Yes, it is another Tubi original by this director, which is a vampire movie. So I think you need to see it because it's like
you say
a horror...
vampires, you've got me at least interested.
Imagine sort of like From Dusk Till Dawn, but it's drag queens fighting vampires.
Perfect. Okay. Say less.
All right. Well, it's spooky season. How are you doing? Are you having, what is the most fun spooky season thing you've done so far this month?
Oh my gosh. We took Lydia to a pumpkin patch. Still a little too young for that. We had a Halloween party last Saturday. We asked people to wear costumes, but it was like 80 some degrees. So most costumes didn't last very long.
Yeah.
But this Friday, we're going trick-or-treating with Lydia. Not sure how long it will last, but I'm going as Anakin. She's Luke. was the only Star Wars costume you could find that fitter that wasn't a baby Grogu. And yeah.
That's adorable. See, like, you're now in that age where you're like getting to sell, do holidays through the eyes of a child, which I imagine is probably pretty freaking miracle or magical and probably will become even more so.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, because I remember when I was a kid, the feel, I still chase that feeling that you have when you're a kid on the holidays, you know, like Christmas is so incredible.
And it's why me and Devin last year decided, because it was our first Christmas in the house and everything. So we have embraced the Candyland Christmas because we're trying to capture that for her.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Right now, you get to decide all of the traditions and ways that Christmas, what Christmas means to another person. That's kind of incredible.
Well, it's ultimately, it's about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right?
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's move on. Tis the reason for the season, I guess. Oh my god. So any other weird life updates, tea, anything exciting happening with you?
Nothing like that. I have a bunch of stuff I've been watching, but that's coming up in a later thing. But honestly, no, I did move. Me and Devin were sharing an office, and I moved my desk and computer into the spare bedroom just because I wanted her to have her own space. So I'm still getting used to being in a different recording area. That's why you can see the guest bed behind me.
I see Twilight ephemera behind you, which is kind of...
That feels... is my Harry Potter comforter from the third grade.
Hmm. Can you put the Twilight stuff up instead? Oh, so I just got back from being on a little vacation. Matilda and I take this like annual trip to the Pacific Northwest where we like hike and stuff ourselves on pastries, and it's magical. But we decided to explore a different island this year. This is off the coast of Washington. There's the San Juan Islands, and this time we decided to go to Lopez Island, which is also known as Slopez, because it's like probably there's like a teeny tiny little town. There aren't that many people that live there. It's much more rural. Not that any of them are like cosmopolitan by any stretch. Like they're all very like sweet, quaint, small town. But we decided to go to Lopez because you could see seals and sea lions. And we're like, yeah, we love nature. Woohoo. So we went there for the first time. And I'm sure it's a lovely place if you live there. So if anybody is listening from Lopez Island, please don't be offended, but it was sinister. we get out, we go for our walk. It's like raining, whatever, that's fine. And there's like a creepy van that's like blasting music, but the music is like sort of like eerie movie soundtrack music. And we're just like, okay, sure, Jan, whatever. We went in, we hiked, we talked to some people. They were lovely. We saw a sea lion. We saw a seal. It was great. It was magical. So then we decided to go for a second longer hike. And I should have known when we pulled up that it was probably not the right place when there was like a bird of prey circling and a Tupperware full of orange vests because it's hunting season.
It is hunting season.
It had never occurred to me that I would ever need to wear an orange vest to avoid being shot while on a hike. But so we like put them on and we were like debating, should we go? Should we not go? Some people pulled up and apparently I don't know what was happening. Probably some sort of like backwoods drug deal. I don't know. But we like asked the person if we were safe and they like kind of were like, yeah, you'll be fine. And we were just feeling uneasy. And I look over and I'm like, what am I looking at? And I don't think you're allowed to do this. There was like a fully dressed deer just on the side of the road.
Dressed? You mean like it was killed and they had gutted it?
Yes. Yes. At the trailhead.
You were out in it then.
Oh, because so like if there was any question that hunting was still going on, it was there in living color. I was like, what am I looking at? Oh my god, gross. And then of course Matilda walks over and is like, click, took a picture of it. So we started walking on the thing, and like I could tell Matilda was like trying to talk herself into continuing, and I was like, this is like a 4-hour hike. Do you want to feel like this for 4 hours? And she was like,
it is spooky season.
It is, yeah, but that was like not the good kind of spooky. We also went and wandered around a graveyard and a mausoleum. Like that is the good kind of spooky season. So we like ended up turning around and going home and going back to our island. And immediately the vibes were immaculate once again. We got sandwiches and went for a hike and saw a bald eagle that like was gazing out across the water longingly at Canada, which felt symbolic, literally because you could see Canada from there. And this bald eagle was just staring across the water at Canada. I was like, me too, brother. Me too. but it was, I don't know. It was really creepy. Like, it was Wicker Man vibes over there, for sure. So, I don't know. That was what I got.
You trust your gut. When you feel like it's not right, you just turn around. That's what I, whenever I go on hikes or anything, if I just feel like something's not kosher, just turn around.
Yeah. It was a big, like, oh, you're from the Bay Area moment. You know what I mean? Like, it never even occurred to me that hunting season was something I needed to think about or would ever come across on, an afternoon hike through the woods. But, of course.
On a public trail, it's odd.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like an, it's in, like, a national park kind of thing, I think.
That's really, really weird.
Right. But am I wrong in thinking that you're not supposed to leave your dead
carcasses? If I went to a national or a state park, like, I would expect no hunting because there's not supposed to, at least in Ohio, there's not supposed to be any hunting. Unless you're poaching. And then if you're doing that, usually you're out late at night. Like, you aren't trying to go when people are there.
There was this, they had set out vests for you to wear. So it was, like, legit. And there was, like, every week had the different kind of gun. Like, they're like, this week you can only use an archery. This week you can use a muzzle loader. This week you can use a modern firearm. I was just like, I am in a world that I am is so foreign to me right now. I want to go back and get a latte and like walk through my California woods. This is too deep in for me. But my question is that, am I wrong in thinking it's weird that they left a dead skinned deer carcass on the side of the trailhead?
It's super weird. It's super weird.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Like,
thank you.
I've never shot a deer. I have field dressed before, but usually you take it back to camp.
Right? Right?
You don't do it in public because the smell, the meat will go bad. Like, there's so many reasons why you wouldn't want to do it somewhere where you couldn't immediately preserve it.
Well, I mean, I didn't get that good a look at it because as soon as I was like, what am I looking at? And I could see what I was looking at. I looked away, but like I saw hooves. I saw red.
No, I saw myself many times
swivel and run the other way.
Yeah, I have spent many, many falls at deer camp, and I'm telling you that's a first.
It's weird. Okay, it's weird. All right. Well, all right. I feel even more validated in calling the island sinister then. all right. Well, that's enough pre-show chit-chat. What do you say we get into this episode?
Okay.
All right. We are going to, as I said, we're going to be talking about R.L. Stine's Pumpkinhead.
Oh, we aren't doing what's been new?
No, we don't do what's new.
I wanted to talk to you about something.
Okay, this is the chit-chat portion. Like, get it in here. Let's do it. Just chit-chat.
Did you watch the Ed Gein Monster Show?
I watched part of the first episode.
So, I enjoyed the Dahmer one.
Okay.
I thought it told a good story. I couldn't get into the Menendez brothers. Like, that just was just not for me. But Ed Gein is obviously a huge influence on so much of horror, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I love Charlie Hunnam from Something
Else. Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
So I was excited when I saw it.
Yeah.
The first half, like, I would say the first like six episodes, I did not know what the hell was happening. Like,
okay.
Like, I didn't know if they were trying to make him like sick. Like, it was just very, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the seventh episode, I even showed Devin the scene. There's a scene, spoilers, I guess, but like where they're tying it into Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got it. I think I got what they were trying to say with the show.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk to you about it because there's a lot of weird messaging about, you know, gender identity and all that stuff. And so I don't know. It was, the show definitely came around. I'm happy that I finished it, but I don't know.
Yeah. I couldn't get into it. There was some degree in which he was being presented with someone with like intellectual disability that felt weird and exploitative that I couldn't.
Yes.
Like, it felt, it didn't, I like disturbing stuff, but it was just, it felt icky.
Yeah, and that was what was making me feel weird, too. And then all the Nazi stuff they threw into it. And again, I didn't know if that was my ignorance about who Ed Gein is, like, the actual person. Because I didn't know, like, any of that stuff.
Right.
But I liked them shitting on Hitchcock. I liked the tie in the Texas Chainsaw. And then, like I said, the Silence of the Lambs stuff. And, like, it really felt like they were highlighting how no one really knew what Ed Gein's story was. But everybody wanted to romanticize it or capitalize on it or, like, tell their version of it. And I found that really, really interesting. And that's what the Silence of the Lambs bit kind of, like, sent home for me.
Interesting. Maybe I should just skip to that part of it, you know? Maybe I'm interested in kind of the cultural, like, maybe sort of like cultural criticism or explorations in that way, but I got to the scene where he, like, accidentally kills his brother, and it's like a little of Mice and Men for me, and I was like, I can't.
I didn't know that. That's what that was my vibe the whole time watching it. Like, I didn't know that he had, like, a girlfriend, and apparently that's, like, real, because, like, obviously they elaborate. It's Ryan Murphy, so, like, he definitely takes his liberties, but, like, it was. There was a lot.
It's unclear if, like, it could have been her after the fact making more of their relationship than actually existed. I don't know. I'm not an Ed Gein scholar.
And then I tried to find a book. I was, like, looking online. Is there, like, a definitive work, like, actually talking about his crimes and him and stuff? And there really isn't.
I mean, so, okay, this is a preteen Rachel confession. I bought, like, all of those, like, Time Life books that were about, like, mass murderers and serial killers, and I read all about Ed Gein in one of them.
okay.
It also had, like, Albert Fish, we do not make enough of Albert Fish. He was a freak-a-leak and scary as hell, and if you Google him, he looks like a straight-up serial killer. But yeah, I mean, he's like an Ohio killer, right? So he's, like, you know, pride of your part of the country.
Who, Gein?
Yeah, isn't he Ohio or is he Michigan?
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Yeah,
Wisconsin or Iowa, somewhere out there. Okay, so... but yeah, I wanted to talk to you about it because I've joked with you about it, and I didn't know if you actually had seen it, and I was happy that I got something similar to what we got in the Donner one.
Okay. I didn't watch. I have not watched any of them. I really should, but, you know.
The Donner one was really good. Oh, and then Devin and I watched The Perfect Neighbor last night. And if you haven't watched that, you should. That was a fucking lot.
We knew nothing.
And it's literally all body cam or police interview footage. And it was one of the most powerful documentaries I've ever seen.
Yeah, brutal. Absolutely brutal.
And I didn't know anything about it.
It's bad. I mean, I feel like it's an important documentary, but I don't know, man. I don't know. All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about something very counter to both of these topics, like
total
opposite end of the spectrum. Although we'll get into it, I definitely have some thoughts about something that happens. All right. I'm trying to be, because we're in the non-spoiler zone, I'm trying to be vague, but I'm guessing you know what I mean.
I think so. A little bit of Evil Dead action.
No, something else. We'll get there.
Okay.
All right. So, but for those of you who are new to the show, you've stumbled upon us for the first time. Let me tell you how we handle spoilers on this show. First thing we're going to do is he's doing us a solid. He's going to give us a non-spoiler synopsis of the film. Then I'm going to give you the background on the director, Jim, as well as whatever production information there is. There isn't a ton right now because Jim did not really do any interviews around this. After that, we'll give our non-spoiler review thoughts about it. We'll take another break for those of you who have not seen it yet, to be able to get the heck out of here and come back for our final thoughts. We're going to take our first quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do just that. Hey, folks, Rachel here. Thanks so much for listening to this preview episode of More Deadly. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, good news, you can. There are a couple of ways that you can hear the full episode right now. First, you can subscribe to the More Deadly podcast for free wherever it is that you get your pods, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/zombiegirls to get the episodes ad-free plus all the other Patreon goodies. Thanks so much for listening.